And amen. Amen. Jesus actually said, as their offering is being received, if you will be faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many. A large part of that's going to take place when Christ comes and he sets up his kingdom. If we suffer with him, the Bible said that we're going to reign with him. Amen. But I believe part of that applies to here and now. And I believe the reason he's allowed us to have an outreach to go as far as it does from such a little setting is because we have tried to be faithful to the Lord all of these years, 37 years. Amen. Praise God. We have proclaimed the gospel, and God knows we're going to continue to proclaim it. And the Lord knows we're going to exalt Jesus. Amen. In the proclamation of the gospel, we're not going to get our little irritant and try to preach that to the world. Amen. There are people that preach what irritates them. And if I did that, well, not even you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't come every Sunday to just hear me talk about what bothers me. But I believe you'll come to hear about Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. How many came here to hear what has troubled me all week? My personal beef. No, you came to hear about Jesus. And you deserve to hear about Jesus. Amen. Well, God's been doing something. Sherry said it in an email. Pamela, am I correct? When she talked about our togetherness, that we're getting tighter. See, this is different, tight. What did she say in the email? We're getting closer together. Did she use the word tighter? We're getting tighter. Do you remember? Sherry. This week. Anyway, tight used to mean something else before I came to Christ. Amen. It means something entirely different now. Amen. It means that, some of you don't know anything about that. I understand you don't understand that. Amen. But we're getting tighter, I think it is what she said. We're getting tighter. That means we're getting more united together and united in God's purpose and united together with one another. Praise God. We're getting closer together. We're feeling like a family of God. You feel like somebody's got your back here instead of somebody wanting to stab you in the back. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're getting closer together. We're intimate enough to see each other's flaws, but we're spiritual enough, amen, to know that there is a love that covers a multitude of sins or faults. Can you say amen? There is a love, but it's not humanly possible to do that. This is divine love. It's the kind of love that God loves with. It's the kind of love that allows him to see us, not just our flaws and faults, but see our potential. Amen. And see our need. I love that song, I will forever turn my eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. If he didn't do that, no one would be saved. Amen. Because none of us deserve to be saved. But the Bible said herein is love. Amen. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us. Initially, you didn't love him. Amen. But he loved you. Amen. And gave his son. No greater love hath any man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And he said, if you have that hard attitude to obey, you are my friends. Amen. If you have that hard attitude to obey, if you do whatsoever I command you, and that doesn't mean you're sinlessly perfect. It means you have a heart to obey. Everybody said a heart to obey. You're going to have a struggle when you commit to obeying God. Amen. Because your flesh is going to have to be captured, subdued, and brought into subjection. Paul literally talked of his willingness of his heart to obey and the weakness of his flesh this way. He said, I do not fight as one that beateth the air. I'm not shadow boxing. I have a target. I know exactly where my enemy is that I need to defeat. And amazingly, initially, he didn't talk about demons and devils and the netherworld. He talked about someone a lot closer to us than that. Can you say amen? He said, I buffet my body and I bring it into subjection. Can you say amen? I bring it into subjection. God tells me to love my enemies. Amen. My fleshly reaction to that is, what? Amen. Love my enemies? I want to love people that love me back. I don't want to love people that mean me harm and people that do me wrong and people that take advantage of me. I want to love them that love me. And you know what Jesus said? Anybody can do that. The world does that. Can you say amen? But if you would be the children of your Father, that's where Jesus gets us. He said, if you would be the children of your Father, you're going to have to do it differently. Because you can't represent Him and be like them. So you're going to have to buffet your body. And I think of Sean. Sean's working today. He said he would be here tonight. I got an email. And B-U-F-F-E-T. If you use it concerning victory or a storm, it's when a storm is buffeting the trees and the trees are laying over in that storm. Amen. But if you use it concerning food, the same word means buffet. Amen. Sean always says, we buffet our bodies. Can you say amen? Paul buffeted his, we buffet ours. And I honestly believe that fasting is one of those disciplines wherein he buffeted his body. Amen. Because fasting is not just showing God how super sacrificial and spiritual they are. Amen. It's getting in a position to override and overrule the flesh. It's taking charge of your life from the inward man that God has given you the strength to do it in. God didn't give you strength in your flesh. But the Bible said you can be strengthened with might in your inward man. Praise God. Amen. You know what they tell us in the dietary world? I've never been able to do this, but they tell you to eat breakfast. For breakfast, eat like a king. For lunch, eat like a prince. And for supper, eat like a pauper. Because, you know, you're going to go to bed on that and you're not going to burn that off. Amen? You're a threefold being. And the king is supposed to be your spirit. And the soulish part of you is supposed to be the servant to the king. Amen? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. And your flesh becomes a slave. Amen. A complete slave. Paul said, I bring my body into submission and subjection, amen, to the will of God. I sanctify myself every day. I set myself apart unto God, not just on Sunday or certain times, but every single day, amen. Praise God. The Bible said, walk in the Spirit so that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Praise God. Amen. Listen real carefully. This is good stuff, and we need to get it and to get it straight. I don't have a whole lot of time to preach left, but it's okay. We've had a wonderful, powerful service today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't use this. We're just going to have to. Amen. Let's go. What is it? Romans chapter. Well, I better find it. Praise God. Just stay with me. Lord won't let me get into my outline, so I'm not even going to try to go there. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. This scripture I have read so much, I just wanted to turn to it. I just wanted you to see it, because I just do a lot of preaching off the cuff. But I just want you to see it. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are preachers that will take that verse of scripture and they'll say there's the good will, and then there's the acceptable will, and then there's the perfect will. And he would rather you be in the perfect will, but if you're in the good, no, just forget all of that. This is making one clear statement. It's not broken down. I'm sorry, it just isn't. God is not going to let you off the hook to say, well, this is what he really wants for you. You need to go talk to Jonah. Amen. Can you say amen? The good, acceptable, and perfect will, all in one, was to go to Nineveh, do what God, deliver the message God gave him. When he decided he wasn't going to do that, it wasn't acceptable to God. And it wasn't good for Jonah. Can you say amen? Come on, we're dealing, we're in a different dispensation. We're dealing with the exact same God he was dealing with. Amen. And I would rather face angry men than to have God get on my case. I'd rather look at angry faces on Sunday. I preach to some people that come here that and they're so glad to be here till they hear the sermon. Can you say amen? When they hear the sermon, they hit the door and hit the road. Amen. People I hadn't seen for 20-something years come in, hug my neck, and tell me how wonderful it is to see me. And then I guess it's going to be another 23 years. And by then, they're going to say, where's Brother Venable? Say, oh, he's been in heaven for 8 years now. Can you say? Won't that be a surprise? I'm going to be sitting up there saying, tee hee hee. Amen. 23 years, I'm glad to see you. Yeah, I can tell you really miss me. It's only been 23 years. Can you say amen? Oh, I love you so much. Right. Yes, that's right. Amen. No, you don't even. And no, I'm not your pastor. I pastor the people that's under the ministry. Brother Bimble, you'll always be my pastor. No, I won't. I'm your pastor as long as you're under my ministry. When you're out from under it, you're somebody else's sheep. But you're a maverick just running around on your own going crazy. Can you say amen? A lot of them out there. Amen. We used to call them charismatics. Now they run around so much looking for blessings, we call them cruisematics. Amen. They cruise from this revival to that revival, and this church to that church. And I used to be part of that crowd and didn't realize it. Amen. We'd go wherever prophesying or interpreting dreams or whatever was going on. We didn't get a foundation in the Word of God. Amen. But I'm so glad I finally got, because a lot of people I was in church with that I looked up to that prophesied every Sunday, spoke in tongues more than anybody else, shouted more than anybody else, got revelations. Amen. And all of these things, their lives became shipwrecked. Because it wasn't built upon a foundation of the Word of God. Amen. If your mind is going to be renewed so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By the way, God don't let people off the hook. Amen. He just don't do that. Amen. If He reveals His will to me, I mean, I've either got to acquiesce and submit to His will, or else I've got to be in insurrection against the revealed will of God. That is not a good place to be. God is not going to say, well, you know something, I called him to preach in Tampa, but he decided to go preach in Orlando because it was more people there. He could have more prestige and more financially attractive to him. But that's okay. Amen. That's my acceptable. It's not my perfect will, but that's my acceptable will. God, I don't see God messing around with nobody like that in the Bible. Amen. If you know what the will of God is, you've got two choices. Obey him or butt heads with him. I don't want to butt heads with God. I got enough trouble with my flesh and the devil and the world system. I don't want God on my case on top of everything else. I'm not looking for a loophole to get out of His will. I'm looking for the grace and strength to obey His will. Because the storms are going to come to you as a Christian just like they come to everybody else. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. I'm not just talking about the crop growing rain. I'm talking about the other rain. The flood tides come. Jesus said, if any man hears my word and he's not disciplined. And by the way, when we talk about discipline, I'm not just talking about making yourself do something. I'm talking, you're talking about a discipline that is born out of devotion. I'm talking about a discipline that's born out of love for God and love for Jesus Christ. Paul said, all the disciplines in my life are flowing out of a deep devotion. It's the love of Christ, not the fear of chastisement. It's the love of Christ that is driving me. It is compelling me. It constraineth me. Can you say amen? Amen. I love to tell the story over and over again. It's not a biblical, historical thing, but it is said that Paul is in prison and he's singing praises unto God. Amen. Several people are outside the prison praying and interceding for him. Amen. And they hear Paul praising God, singing these praises unto the Lord. And a man walks up to them and said, what's going on? They said, well, we're praying for Paul. He's imprisoned and we're out here praying for him and interceding. They said, what's he doing in there? What's that noise I hear? Said, he's singing the praises of God. And he's saying, he's in prison and he's been beat and he's had all these things happen to him and he's in there praising God. Said, how does he do that? And they said, He's in love. He's in love. Everybody say in love. If we start trying to teach you discipline, me discipline, without first having devotion born out of love, it won't work. You'll do it for a little while, but it won't follow through. Let me tell you something about love. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. And love never ends. So follow after faith, hope, and love. What's on the top shelf? Faith? No. What's on the top shelf? Love. See, the thing about it is when love is on the top shelf and you love God, you want His will more than your way. So when faith begins to build within you, it's faith to obtain and obey His will, not faith to do what I want. Amen. And that's the flaw. That's the fly in the ointment of the faith message today. We're trying to build our faith to get what we want. If we loved Him with all of our heart, we'd be building our faith to get what He wills. Amen. And it begins with you being happy with what you have. Because He has said, this is what you have, His commitment to you. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. I love the way God talks in His Word. I've heard preachers explain His Word until I was more confused when they got done. I should have read it for myself. Sit an hour letting somebody expound it. Time he got done, he'd watered it down, compromised it, polluted it with his own ideas or his own denomination's take on it. I just like to read it right out of the Bible. I heard not too long ago a story of some people that lived high in the mountains of Peru, way up in the mountains where the air is thin, and they'd never heard the gospel. They'd never been to church years and years ago. Some missionary went up there and had a meeting, and a lot of them came to Jesus, and he left them Bibles in their own language. And everything they read in that book, they took literally, as if it was just like it was written. Isn't that incredible that you could take God at His word? In their prayer meeting, somebody got sick. They read in there what the Bible said about it. Took God at His word. Never heard no different. I was sitting with some pastors in the pastor's meeting, and we were discussing some of these things that I can discuss. Most of it is private and personal and doesn't leave the table. Amen. But things about doctrine can go from the table. One of the things was we were talking about a respected minister that we loved his teaching, and one of the dear pastors was talking about the fact, yeah, but he believed the day of miracles was over, that God only used it to get the Bible to us, and once we had it, we don't need it anymore. But see, that's not what the Scripture says. That's what somebody says. Amen. You can't validate it. Scripture they use is when that is perfect has come, that we know in part, we see in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that is perfect come, that's in part will be taken away. Can you say amen? That's not the Bible. That's when Jesus comes and we see Him as He is. Can you say amen? That's when Christ comes and sets up His kingdom. It's very clear to me. I'm not defending, amen, Pentecost. I'm defending what the Word of God teaches. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Amen. If the days of miracles are over, then we can't ever teach on prayer again. We can never teach on prayer again, because for God to answer a prayer, He's got to work a miracle. Amen. Amen. We can't ask Him to bless the building fund to build that fellowship hall and that basketball court. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we can't pray for God to bless us to get the money to put in video machines to get the young people in. Amen. Amen. Who wouldn't go to church to play video games? Amen? But when it comes time to walk out that door and follow Jesus, you've got to have a devotion. And if the devotion isn't there, when push comes to shove, we're going to let the flesh and the world be our guide. Amen? We'll have a good head count at church, but when it comes time to make disciples unto Christ, amen, we can't pull that off. Because a disciple is more than someone who is a learner in the biblical sense. It is not just learning what the master knows. It's becoming what the master is. Can you say amen? That's why the fivefold ministry is not just to teach us about Jesus, but to bring us into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus. He has said in the church, these ministries, five of them, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Many people feel that pastor and teacher is one and the same, because there's no way a pastor can be a good pastor and not teach the flock anything. You've got to be equipped with knowledge, because people are perishing for a lack of it, and people are going into captivity for a lack of it. My wife told you the truth. You've got to know how to lay them burdens down. You've got to know how to trust the Lord with it. If you don't learn those skills biblically, amen, and learn how to use your faith to do that, you will walk out of here with the burden you walked in with. You'll walk out of here with the heartbreak you walked in with, but God still wants to make that great exchange with you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. He set them in the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Can you say amen? That, and for the maturing of the church. That perfecting means the maturing, the maturation, that we be no more children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the cunning craftiness of men, wherein they lay in wait to deceive. One translator said they lay awake at night thinking up schemes to separate people from their money. Whether it be a bottle of water. It's not even holy water from the Vatican. It's just plain old water. Amen. To a fluorescent cross that you hold up to a light until it absorbs light, and sit it by your bed in case the demons come after you at night. They see that cross, and I thought, that guy's watched one too many Bela Lugosi movies. Can you say amen? Amen. Because, you know, you hold up this cross, and the vampire, he's about to get you, and he sees that, and he says, oh. Amen. How silly. How stupid. It's not some little fluorescent cross sitting on the table that keeps the devil away from God's people. Amen. It's the cross that was on top of Golgotha. Amen. It's that cross. Amen. And believe me, the devil knows what happened on that hill. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Amen. And the preaching of that cross is still the power of God unto salvation to everybody that's believed because of that message. Hallelujah. Herein is love. Herein is love. If you don't guard your heart, you're going to lose your devotion. And once you lose your devotion, you don't have it in you to stay disciplined anymore. You don't buffet your body. You start giving in, and you start giving place to the devil through that and compromising. And that's where the devil gets the high ground in our life. When it said give no place to him, it is the actual word terra firma. It's the word for ground. It's like a piece of property. He can't build a stronghold anywhere in your life unless you give him a deed to the lot. Those Jim Walter homes over there, the first home we had was a Jim Walter home. And the reason Jim Walter Corporation got started back in the day when I was a little boy, amen, I remember my mom and daddy had a Jim Walter home built. He didn't finish the inside. He built the shell. They didn't have any money, but they owned a piece of land. And the piece of land was the down payment, because Jim Walter Corporation couldn't lose. Because if they defaulted on the payment, they'd get the land and the house that they built. And there's no way they could go in the hole that way. So if you can produce a deed to the land, then he could build on that. Amen. And if you defaulted, he could claim it as his. The Bible said, give no place to the devil. Can you say amen? And the way that we get to the place of compromising, where he has control. Listen, this involves more than armor. This involves your personal devotion to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Loving him enough to want to serve him with your whole heart and your whole life. Loving him enough to buffet your body and bring it into subjection. Can you say amen? And it's a discipline born out of devotion. People that are doing something out of devotion don't even see it as something hard. They see it as a joy instead of a job. Amen. Jesus loved the Father, and he loved fallen man enough that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And you talk about discipline. No nails held him to that. Spikes couldn't hold him to the cross. He was God incarnate. He told Peter, pulled his sword and tried to defend him to make up for all of his other mess ups. And he thought, but I'm going to show Jesus just how devoted I am. And he pulled that sword to defend him. And Jesus said, put it up. If I needed defending, I wouldn't want you to be the one that defends me. Peter and his big sword. They'd have sent enough people, one centurion. But 100 men would have chopped Peter up to little pieces. He said, I could call the host of heaven. You know who he was? He was the Lord of hosts, the commander in chief of heaven's armies. All of heaven's armies were at his disposal. And yet, before Pilate, he as a lamb, you talk about devotion and discipline, as a lamb dumb before his shearers. Oh, he did what? He opened not his mouth. Praise God. He could have called 10,000 angels, the song said. He could have done that, but he didn't. And he did it all. He laid down. He said, no man. He looked Pilate in the eye and he said, no man. I want to make it clear what's about to happen here. I don't want you to see me as a victim of Rome's imperialism. Amen. Or the politics of the scribes and the Pharisees and the priests. No man takes my life from me. Can you say amen? No man takes my life from me. Amen. Well, who killed him then? Was it the Jews? Was it Rome? Who did it? Was it the high priest? No, it was you and me. It was our sin that put him on the cross. Everyone across the board. People want to use Jesus' death as an occasion to hate other people. You can't even use his death and hate in the same breath. Can you say amen? No man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. And I have the power to take it up again. Can you say amen? But no man, make no mistake about it, takes my life from me. They didn't kill Jesus. He laid down his life. There's an old man. I forget his name. But he was in World War II. But there's an old man down at Key West. He's probably with the Lord now because he's a World War II veteran. He used to walk out in his khakis and his monkey shoes. That's thongs, I think. Amen. I've never seen a monkey with thongs on, but they call them monkey shoes. He walks out on that dock at sunset, and he's got a bucket of fish pieces. You know, he catches a lot of fish. They clean them. He takes all them pieces, gets him a bucket. And he walks out every day at sunset in Key West, Florida. And he reaches in and he pulls and he throws and seagulls. And when they see him, here they come. Here they come because they said, man, there's our evening meal. That man got something in that. He bringing, look how big that thing he carrying. He's full of fish. Heathcliff, come over here. Can you say amen? You know Gertrude and Heathcliff. You remember Red Skelton? No, those were pelicans. Well, pelicans come too. But he's feeding specifically seagulls. Because when their ship went down, four of them got in a life raft. And they survived for days. It rained and they took a hat and caught rainwater and got a little bit of water. But the food, the nutrition, it rained again and they got just enough water to keep from dehydrating. And they were in the middle of the ocean, the middle of nowhere, the four of them. And they got down to where they realized they were almost too weak to lift their heads, too weak. And they just wanted to just go lay down and let it happen. But they prayed together. They joined hands and prayed that God would intervene. And you know, a helicopter didn't come that day to rescue them. A plane didn't go over. A ship didn't come by that day after they prayed. But when they said amen to the prayer, a seagull came and landed on this man's shoulder and sat there, didn't move. He said, I was weak. I couldn't grab for it before it could fly. I didn't know why it came to my shoulder, but they were thinking we could pluck him. We could take the flesh, the little bits of flesh, and get something to sustain us for one more day. And said, he put his hand up slowly, and he didn't move, and he took him. He didn't fight. He took him down in his hands, broke his neck, and the gull led him and didn't move. Did you know this is not unusual? Did you know there was a drought in Elijah's day? And Elijah was at the brook Cherith. And you know how he was surviving? It said, God hath commanded the ravens, amen, to bring him flesh and bread every morning and every evening. God commanded the ravens to bring him bread. Where did they get the bread and flesh? Did they go out and find some roadkill? No. Amen. Every Bible scholar believes the same thing. Because the wicked king of Israel was eating high off the hog while everybody else was starving. Amen. That's how it works. That's the food chain. Can you say amen? And he said, I could just see, one Jewish scholar said, I can just see those ravens under God's command flying in the window of the king's table. Amen. There's bread over here and there's pot roast over here, and one of them grabs a piece of that roast and another one a piece of that bread, and they fly right back to Elijah. They were under the command of God. And this man said, no one can tell me that seagull, God didn't command that seagull to come right down. And they, you say, Brother, I don't see how they could eat that. Honey, you just hadn't been out to sea that long, got that hungry. Can you say, man? I've heard of people eating their own, taking their shoe leather and boiling it and trying to get some of the broth from the leather. They were so hungry. Listen to me. But they ate for one more day. And after that day, amen. Then a ship came by and they were rescued. But they remembered after they got through praying. Amen. God spoke to a seagull and it come and landed and didn't try to fly away. Amen. But this man gave his heart to Christ and he said, you know, when I think of Jesus going to the cross, I think of that seagull giving his life that we might live willingly. A winged bird that could have flew away, but he didn't. He didn't. People think Jesus was a victim of the politics of the day or the military of the day. No, he wasn't. Or the religious hatred and bigotry of the day. He wasn't. He wasn't a victim at all. Amen. He has the power. I could have called 10,000 angels. I'm so glad someone, amen, came here with an attitude of self-sacrifice instead of self-indulgence. Amen. Because if he was under the teaching, amen, if he came here with the attitude of many of the teachers today, he would not have went to the cross for nobody. He would have took care of number one. Can you say amen? But he didn't. I love that song that said, while he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Praise God. Let me tell you something. Paul said, I buffet my body. I bring it into subjection. He talked about the world and the reason that they are disciplined. He said, they do it for a corruptible crown. They do it for vain glory. And yet, here's the key to that. They do it. They do it. They do it. Amen. If there's a boxing contender, I'm going to tell you where he's going to be at 6 a.m. He's not going to be at the donut shop. Can you say amen? Come on, that's the popo will be there. Can you say amen? But he's not going to be there. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I go into the donut shop, Dunkin' Donuts, and I say, I have to get there early before the popo gets the good ones. Amen. And I tell him, I said, did the popo get them good ones? They were in here, weren't they? And they say, yeah, they were here. Yeah, they were here. Yeah, and the firemen too. The firemen, the popo get all the good donuts while they're good and warm, and I get the other stuff. Amen. Anyway, I got to beat the popo. Amen. They'd be in the donut shop, but they're not in the donut shop. 6 a.m, he's either hitting that bag. Does his body want to? What does your body want to do at 6 a.m? Amen. I've been taking my son to work because both his cars are broke. And he's waiting on his income tax return to get another car. It's going to be a real fine car. But anyway, amen. I'm probably still going to have to take him pretty soon. But I've been getting up at 5 a.m. to get him to work. And when I wake up at 5 a.m, I dare not turn off the alarm and decide I'm going to lay here for just 3 more minutes. Because it only takes me 1 more minute. In fact, it don't even take a full minute. If I close my eyes, I mean, even when I was young and having to get up that early, I remember taking an alarm clock, putting it by the bed, and then I had my backup alarm clock, and it wasn't even electric. It was one of them wind-up things, one of them things with big bells on top. It shakes all over the place when it rings. I stuck it under the bed. And there was many mornings when I never even remember waking up enough to reach over and turn that one off. I mean, that one was like, that just kind of got me aware enough to turn it off without even remembering I touched it. But the one under the bed would go off and I couldn't reach it. And I had to wake up, and then I realized I'd done turned that one off, and this is my backup. If I turn my backup off, I won't be to work. If I don't be to work, we don't eat. So I was dedicated. Can you say amen? Because I picked up this habit called eating, passed it on to my family. Can you say? They got the same habit. Discipline. They do it. And they don't do it with the Holy Ghost helping them. They don't do it with the Spirit of Christ and the Word of God. They don't do it motivated out of love for God, but literally something that's going to pass away. But they do it. They do it for a corruptible crown. I used to work out at a gym, and the professional wrestlers come in. I remember when the guy that his name is, what is his name? He used to play a bass in a band. I think he went to King High School, Hulk Hogan, but his name wasn't Hulk Hogan then. He hadn't changed his name. It was Terry Bollea. And Terry would come in, and they were wrestling in Japan at the time. And he'd come in with this other big guy. And then Bugsy McGraw would come in. I don't know if you remember Bugsy McGraw. He's a guy that went like that, and, you know, like he was crazy. That was no act. That was no act. Most of them are acting, but Bugsy was, that's the way he was. He come in the gym. Of course, I never made fun of him, but anyway, because he was just tall and that wide. Amen. But they come in the gym, and they had other things to do. Amen. But they were pumping that iron. And I remember Terry one time, and he was sweating down, pumping this iron, him and this other wrestler with him. And he said, man, that other wrestler said something about, come on, let's go. He said, uh-uh. He said, let's get one more set. And he looked at him like, why? Why? He said, because this is my bread and butter. This is my bread and butter. Amen. Keeping this big physique is going to make me a superstar someday. It's my bread and butter. So I'm going to get that other rep because I'm highly motivated. He's doing it for something, fame and fortune, that is going to pass away. He's even had suicidal thoughts and other things because of what he's been through. All that riches and fame and fortune and physique hasn't given him a happy, fulfilling life. Can you say, man, it's a corruptible crown. Amen. It has a way of fading and passing away. But what we're after, what God is asking for us to devote to and discipline ourselves to, amen, is for something that is incorruptible. Can you say, man, glory to God. Amen. But he doesn't just want the discipline. He wants the devotion. They do it. That's what caught my eye. They do it for a corruptible crown. And we can't seem to get it done for an incorruptible crown. They do it out of love for the fortune and fame. And many Christians can't seem to do it out of love for Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for them. There's only one reason we can't. It's because we don't love him like he loves us. Can you say, man? You ever seen one of those marriages where somebody's deeply in love with somebody, don't care nothing about them? You talk about a one-sided thing. Amen. I heard a guy at work, he said, quit trying to fall in love with somebody. He said, I did that twice and got my heart broke all to pieces. He said, get somebody that'll fall in love with you. If you love somebody that don't love you back, run the other way. It's just going to break your heart. You know what Jesus is asking of us? He said, I'm just asking you to love me back. And I'm going to stimulate that love. Oh, I know there's a scripture that says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and body. You don't. He doesn't. But he gives that command because he's God and he deserves that. But that's not how he gets us to love him. Herein is love, 1 John said. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave himself for us. We love him. It goes on to say, because he initiated, he first loved us. He laid down his life. What's it worth? What's it worth? Is it worth devotion? Is it worth becoming a disciple? Is it worth me denying myself that I might follow the one that I love? We drove over. They rode. Her brother came down. They rode over where they used to live, where I used to take her school bus home at least three, four times a week, right? Five sometimes. I went home with her bus. I lived at 579 and 92. She lived going out toward Valrico, right before you get out of Brandon into Valrico. There's a community back there. That's where she lived. I got on her bus so I could sit with her, go home with her. And when her daddy come home and we all eat together, then I walked from the other side of Brandon to 579 and 92. That is a long way. Say it again. Woo! I remember I'd start. It was daylight. It'd be way after dark. Now I'm trudging along. No, I'm not. I'm walking. Got me some sugar. Got me some sugar. Woo! Hey, man. You talk about walking a mile for a camel? I walked 10 miles for a Pamela. Can you say amen? I'll tell you, it wasn't nothing to me. I didn't see it as a sacrifice. I saw it, amen, it was worth it. Everybody say it was worth it. It's worth it if you're in love. If you really love somebody, it's worth it. Can you say amen? It's worth it. It's worth it. Ask Paul. He said it's worth it. He said these sufferings, these light sufferings, look how it changed everything. Look how love and devotion changed everything. Oh my God in heaven, if anybody had a reason to complain, it was the Apostle Paul. He said, I was beaten with rods 3 times. Amen. I was given 39 stripes of the Jews on 5 separate occasions. I was shipwrecked 3 times. I was in the deep for a day and a night. I was in peril of sword. I was among false brethren. Amen. I was naked and I was hungry. And these light afflictions. Love changes everything. These light afflictions. Man loved his country. They were getting ready to hang him. You know what he says? I regret that I have but one life to lay down for my country. Can you say, man, Christ is worth more than your patriotism? Can you say, man, hallelujah, amen? But when that devotion comes, it changes everything. It is no sacrifice. Praise God. Amen. No sacrifice at all. You know, if I'd stayed with Tampa Electric instead of preach the gospel, and I'd just preached around on the weekend, not been there and not did what God called us to do, right now, I would have more time in than Sean. And Sean is an old Tico guy. Terry, I mean. Yeah, Sean, he's with Publix, and he's got a ways to go. But I started before Terry started. How many years does he have? 40? 39. Okay, I would have had about 43, I think. I started at 21. I'm 64. 43, I got it right. I never get it right. And he's so strict. But today I got it right, and I feel so much better. Praise God. Hallelujah. Give me a star or something by my name. Yeah, 43. 43 years. I would have 43 years with Tico. If I worked another two, I'd have 45. And if I retired from Tico with 45, and I had my Social Security, my retirement, I'd be sitting pretty financially. Just materially. Yeah, financially. We wouldn't have as many, you know, issues as we have. Something would take it. Yeah. Don't you love an honest woman? Something would take it. I don't know what it is, but something would take it. I love you. She married me. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Venable. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so glad. I don't look back. and say, you know, I could have had this, I could have done that, I could have did this, I could have did the other. People still try to figure out why I don't make decisions based on those kind of things, because they've never seen the kingdom of God. If you ever get a glimpse of the true kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink. That means it's not for self-indulgence, for your flesh. But it's something beyond that and so much better than that. It's righteousness. Ah, to know you're right with God. Amen. And it's peace. Amen. Peace with God and the peace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Kingdom peace. And listen, it's not just this jolt we get from the Holy Ghost. It's joy in the Holy Ghost, because He comes. When He comes, He will testify of me, Jesus said. Amen. He will manifest my presence unto you. Glory be to God. There's joy when you're in the presence of the one who loves you enough to die for you and that you love with all of your heart. And you don't have to be in a grand hotel. Whisk away in a limousine. Just being with the person you love that loves you. I worked with a guy. I told this at the pastor's meeting. I may have told you, but I got to tell it again. But the guy, first man I led to the Lord was a fellow that went to church every Sunday. And when he saw me get saved, he realized that he wasn't. So I got to share Christ with him and lead him to the Lord. My first convert was a guy that saw Jesus in me and realized he was going to church, but he didn't have what I had. And he wanted what I had, and what I had was Jesus. He'd been baptized and welcomed into the body of Christ and told he was saved forever. But he wasn't saved at all. But when he saw someone who really got saved, amen, it made him realize he needed salvation. And I got to lead him to the Lord. Praise God, what a privilege. But I remember when he got married, he married the love of his life. And oh, they were so in love. But they were on a budget like the rest of us. And he was headed for Ocala to Silver Springs. Amen, look at the fish through the glass bottom boats for his honeymoon. Rent a motel in Ocala, go to Silver Springs, eat out, be with the person he loves. And so I was excited for him. He took his week off vacation, got married. Him and Julie headed out from Tampa, where they lived, headed out for Ocala. Did I tell you this story? You remember that? You remember it, but the rest of you don't. Some of you do. Anybody remember that? Okay, but most of you don't. You will, amen. So they're headed. I mean, you got to understand, they don't have much money. They worked where I worked, but they're deeply in love with one another. Amen. They're not looking forward, actually, to looking at fish through the glass-bottom boats. They're newlyweds. They're in love. Just being together is what it's all about. But they needed a place to go. And they, where are you going? Going to Ocala, Silver Springs. The first day back, I said, hey, Larry, come here. I said, how'd you like Silver Springs? He says, he's kind of fidgeting. He said, well, we were going to Silver Springs. I said, well, where did y'all go? He said, well, we were headed for Silver Springs. We're headed up there, headed Silver Springs. Said, we got to Brooksville. Now, there may be something there now. Not in the town, but out by the road, you know, where the motels are. They saw a motel in Brooksville. Said, we've stopped at Brooksville. Not to go see anything, but to be together. Does anybody ever remember back when just being with the one you love was a wonderful thing? I know some of you are looking like, What's he talking about? I wanted to see the fish. Fish used to play football or something. They'd take a ball of dough and throw it in, all the fish would go after it and knock it all over the place. And everybody said, whoa. They weren't interested in looking at fish through a glass bottom boat. They were interested in being together. And it didn't matter where they were, just so they were together. I'll tell you what happens when you fall in love with Jesus. Paul said, I can sit here in this prison cell. They can't keep me from him or him from me. And they said, why is he singing? And they said, because he's in love. And the guy said, with who? Said, with Jesus. And the guy said, is that all? Is that all? Because people can't conceive of anybody having that kind of intimacy and love for Christ. That wherever that, Paul said, you know what I've learned because of this relationship I have with him? I've learned in whatever state I'm in, I know how to abound. And you know there's a knack to it. Amen. It's like the t-shirt said, Lord, please help me to win the lotto so I can prove to you that it won't change me. Can you say amen? We all think we wouldn't change. God knows what effect it would have on us. Can you say amen? Amen. And if it would puff us up with pride, you know what he would say? That's not good for you. Can you say amen? If it would make us more independent from him instead of dependent on him, he'd say, you don't really need that. All you really need is me. What he's saying is you don't really need a full meal barrel. You just need one that never runs empty.
Amen.
Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. That's the kind I want. That's what I've had all my life. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, you know, Jesus was rich. He had a treasurer. We got one here for the church.
Yeah.
Amen. Fact is, she's my treasurer at home. She takes care of that because I was always working, and I'm so glad of it. I'm glad she does. And she's up. If she precedes me to heaven, Lord have mercy, they're going to be on my phone. I'm going to say, who in the world are you? They'll say, well, I'm from Visa. Visa who? Anyway, we'll move right along. When you're in love, it changes everything. It's not a sacrifice anymore. Praise God. The message of denying ourselves to follow Jesus, it's not a sacrifice. That's why a man, out of love for God, but showing it to one of his creatures, to his creatures. That's why a man in Key West, as long as he lived, every day at sundown, he walked out on this little dock with a bucket of those fish leavings. And here come the seagulls, and he's throwing it. And it wasn't just to feed those. That bird is dead and gone, but he's just doing something down here to say, the reason I'm alive today, because seagull landed on my shoulder and didn't even try to fly away when I took him and broke his neck, gave himself up a sacrifice. Jesus did exactly that for you and exactly that for me. Herein is love. Not that we loved him initially, but that he loved us enough to die on the cross for us. Herein is love. And our only response that is requisite for that kind of sacrificial love is to love him back and offer our body. What a living sacrifice. Does he want to break our neck? And no, no, no. He just wants our heart. Can you say amen? He wants us to love him more than we love the world. He wants us to love him more than we love our self-indulgent flesh. He wants us to love him enough to just serve him. And there's a joy in that. It doesn't put you in a box. It doesn't cramp your... I remember Dad told me one of these things as we get ready to close. Dad told me about his... Did I give you a thing? I didn't. Praise the Lord. I did. Number one. Dad told me something. He said he was walking in the mall, East Lake Mall, before they closed it, with my son when he was just a little fella. And a lot of teenage young girls were in there walking the East Lake Mall. You know, mall rats, they call them now. You know, they meet there. You show off there. You walk around the mall and you know, I can't do it. Amen. And I wouldn't do it if I could do it. But anyway, they walking around. The guys are all, you know, they're walking and they're looking there. And granddad. Now, he was younger than me then, probably. Yeah, he had to be. I guess he was about my age. Granddad's walking with his grandson. You know, it's 13 years old, whatever Alan was then. And they're walking East Lake Mall. And Alan tells Granddad, says, Granddad, why don't you go? You hang back. He didn't want to walk beside of him. He wanted the old guy to hang back. No, you back up about 10 steps. You can still, you know, we won't get separated. But you back up. And he said, why, Alan? He said, you're cramping my style. You don't want this old guy hanging with you. You've got all these young gals to look at. You know, you want him to hang back. Don't cramp my style. He grinning, keep an eye on him. He grinning awful big. And can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, God wants a devotion. That's what he's after. We don't have to hang with the world because it cramps our style to be a Christian. No, it's a joy, amen, to be counted worthy to suffer. They rejoice. Listen, they rejoice. See, love takes everything differently. When someone's that devoted, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for His sake. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for His sake. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to love Him more and more and more. He's been my refuge. He's been my friend. He's been my helper in time of trouble. But above all, He's my Savior. He gave Himself. And He proved His love for me at the cross. If He never did another thing in my life or answered another prayer, He deserves my unreserved devotion. It's what kept Paul, because love endures all things. Praise God. Hallelujah. It never fails and it never ends. And if we fall in love with Him, if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments. He'll have the devotion that brings those disciplines, and they won't be grievous to Him. He won't see God as cramping His style. And if you're looking for a good mate, get one that will embrace you and your faith. Can you say, man, that you don't have to compromise your faith for? Amen. Jesus is worth more than any other relationship down here. Can you say, man, He's the one that loved you supremely. Hallelujah. Don't cop out. Say, if you take me, you take my God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good today. It's a joy to serve Him. Will you stand to your feet today? Hallelujah. I love the Lord because He hears my voice. He hears my cry. He hears my prayer. He turns His ear always to me. How many has God helped down through your life to this point? Let's just worship Him in this last song today. Let's just let Him stimulate us to fall more deeply in love with Him. And the disciplines will come, and we won't even see it as a job. We'll see it